Good morning, everyone. It's good to see many people still staying around on the last day of the meeting. My name is Shinsuke Akehara. I'm an assistant professor from University of Florida. I'm studying plant stress physiology, and today I'm going to be talking about the mechanism of leaf chlorosis induced by plant hormone abscisic acid. I'm sure you must have seen leaf chlorosis. I see this often in my house as well when my wife tried to grow something that she's not good at. And leaf chlorosis is an indicator that leaves don't have enough chlorophyll, which are the leaf green pigments. So the symptom is leaf yellowing. And it can be caused by deficiency of many nutrients, but most commonly nitrogen, which is the main component of leaf chlorophyll. And the picture on the left-hand side, it shows the chlorosis by nitrogen deficiency. And it typically starts from the lower leaves. And it can be caused also by water stress, and it is a process of leaf senescence. There are two plant hormones that can induce leaf chlorosis, abscisic acid and ethylene. Leaf chlorosis is a common negative side effect of ABA application for many vegetable and ornamental crops, and in my trial, I also see leaf chlorosis by ABA, especially when the concentration is too high. So the understanding of mechanism of ABA-induced leaf chlorosis is important to optimize the commercial application of ABA. So how does ABA induce chlorosis? Under water stress, ABA level goes up, and it upregulates hydrolytic enzymes and senescence-associated genes that can stimulate breakdown of chlorophyll. ABA also has indirect effect on chlorosis by stimulating ethylene production. So we do have good understanding in molecular mechanism of ABA-induced chlorosis, but most of these were done using detached leaf tissues. But ABA has many different effects on the whole plant physiology. For example, one of the main effects of ABA under water stress is stomata closure, which can reduce transpiration-driven nutrient uptake, or it can affect nutrient distribution. And we often observe that exogenous ABA application can induce nitrogen deficiency-like symptom, the chlorosis are starting from lower leaves. So we hypothesize, ABA-induced stomata closure limits nutrient uptake, thereby inducing chlorosis. And two, ABA regulates preferential nitrogen distribution. ABA limits nitrogen distribution to mature leaves to induce leaf age-dependent chlorosis. We use Arabidopsis wild type in this study. We tested three concentrations, 0, 0.1, and 1 millimolar ABA concentration. And to study the effect of ABA on nitrogen translocation, we use a 15N tracing technique. And there were four ages of leaves that we sample for measurements, the first leaf being the oldest, and the seventh leaf being the youngest. This is the general procedure of this experiment. 19 days after sowing, the plants were treated with ABA, and immediately after that, plants were treated with 15N. 0, 1, 2, 3, and 5 days after ABA treatment, leaves are sampled for ethylene and chlorophyll measurements, and each leaf was kept in a glass vial to get dry matter content and also for nitrogen and 15N analysis. These are the picture of the leaves. From the left, we have the first leaf. This is the oldest leaf, a third, fifth, and seventh leaf. From top to the bottom, 0 millimolar ABA, 0.1, and 1 millimolar ABA. And for each leaf, from 0 to 5 days after ABA treatment, you can see leaf chlorosis is leaf age dependent, showing more severe symptoms on the first leaf, and also concentration dependent. And you can see the same trend in the bottom figure, which shows deep chlorophyll measurement data. In the first leaf, there was a reduction in the chlorophyll by 1 millimolar ABA, and the reduction was by up to 80% 3 days after ABA treatment. And the magnitude of the reduction was much smaller on the third leaf compared to the first leaf, and with lower concentration of ABA. And there was no reduction in chlorophyll measurement on the fifth and seventh leaves. This is the data of the ethylene production. From the first leaf to the seventh leaf, there was no statistical difference among any treatment in this data. But you can see the open circle is the zero ABA. And you can see there was a trend that, as opposed to the general assumption, the ABA treatment actually tended to suppress the ethylene production in this experiment. But the main finding is that there was no stimulation of ethylene production to induce deep chlorosis. By contrast, ABA had significant effect on the water and nitrogen uptake. On the left figure, you can see there was a reduction in the transpiration rate by ABA treatment 1 day after ABA treatment, and indicating that there was a rapid stomatal closure by ABA. And then you can see the effect of ABA continues until 5 days after ABA treatment, and the effect is also concentration dependent. The figure on the right, it shows total plant nitrogen content 3 days after ABA treatment. You can see the nitrogen content decreased in response to ABA in a concentration-dependent manner, and which is a similar trend as the transpiration. So the finding was nitrogen uptake was reduced by ABA induced stomatal closure. So now let's look at the deep nitrogen status in individual leaves. The figure here shows deep nitrogen concentration for the leaf sampled 3 days after treatment. You can see ABA reduced deep nitrogen concentration only in oldest leaf, the first leaf, but there was no effect on younger leaves. So the chlorosis we found on the first leaf, this was due to nitrogen loss in the eldest leaf. But the question still remains clear. We don't know if this chlorosis was due to the reduction in distribution of nitrogen going to the oldest leaf, or because the translocation of nitrogen in this oldest leaf increased to going to the newer leaves. So we analyzed 15N. The figure on the right hand side, it shows delta 15N. This is the ratio of 15N to 14N. This data is for the 3 days after ABA treatment. And you can see delta 15N decreased with increasing ABA concentration, and indicating that nitrogen uptake after ABA treatment was reduced. And if you compare this data as the deep nitrogen concentration data I showed you in the previous slide, you can see the trend is very similar. And when I plotted the data, I found very high correlation between delta 15N and deep nitrogen concentration, indicating that ABA induced chlorosis in the mature leaf by limiting nitrogen distribution. So in conclusion, ABA induces leaf chlorosis independently of ethylene production. ABA limits the distribution of nitrogen into non-growing matured leaves, thereby inducing deep age-dependent chlorosis. And we think this is the stress adaptation mechanism to conserve nutrients for new developing leaves. And I just I'd like to thank the people who supported this study, and this study was supported by Valen Biosciences. So I'd like to thank you for the financial support, and I think I have a few minutes for questions.
tried using 6-PA benzalanine to counteract ABA yellowing? Have you worked with that at all?
No, that'd be a good study. No, I haven't done that yet.
We worked quite a bit with it, and in pansy, we see the exact same thing. The low leaves turn yellow with ABA, and 6-PA completely counteracts that and has no effect on transpiration inhibition.
Yeah, I remember seeing the paper. I'm continuing the study still. I'm right now looking at, for example, like nitrogen transporter genes, but I think it's going to be interesting to look at also the interaction with different plant hormones.
Yeah, but still I think fuller application of nitrogen can take care of a lot of the chlorosis as well.
Yeah, as long as the concentration is not too high, we are seeing that the chlorosis is reversible. Okay.
So you concluded that nitrogen uptake was inhibited. Would it be fair to say that the ABA is simply reducing growth, and because you have reduced growth, you have less nitrogen in the plant?
Yes. Yeah. ABA is, I think, reducing the nitrogen uptake by closing stomata, but at the same time, it's also inhibiting the growth, because another main effect of ABA on growth is to inhibit the leaf expansion, and so. I think it's a combination, but I think the main finding from this study is that it's not just the reason why we saw chlorosis by ABA is not just because nutrient uptake was reduced, but it's mainly because the way nitrogen distribution was changed by ABA, because newer leaves, they still sustain a good amount of nitrogen and chlorophyll. And the eldest leaf, which didn't have any growth during my experiment, so they required only nitrogen to sustain the chlorophyll. They didn't need any additional nitrogen for expanding the growth. But ABA, we just limited the nitrogen going to only the oldest leaf. So I think that's the main thing we found from this study. It's only the shoot, we didn't, But I think because the roots of Arabidopsis is kind of so fine, and I think it's minimal, but we didn't measure nitrogen in the roots. I think, actually I was surprised because when I look at the transpiration data, actually this is the transpiration data, and you can see the effect of ABA on transpiration was much more significant compared to the nitrogen uptake, because the transpiration in the ABA treated plants, especially by 1 millimolar ABA, it remained almost at the same level as at the beginning of the experiment. And you can see transpiration by ABA treatment. This is only 20-30% of the control plants, but nutrient uptake, it wasn't reduced by that much. So I think even when the transpiration is reduced, it doesn't mean that you have the same magnitude of reduction in nutrient uptake. Okay, thank you.